It was the 28th of November, the place, Turkey's capital, Ankara. And then the very first speech of his pastoral journey to Turkey, Pope Benedict XVI quoted from the writings of a pope who came before him. A Roman pontiff who may not have visited Turkey in days when popes just didn't travel, but spent 10 years there before that as papal representative, precisely from January 1935 to December 1944, the war years more or less. You'll have guessed with this clue, the Pope is John XXIII. And the writings he referred to were from the journal of a soul, clearly his soul. Let's listen to Pope Benedict's words.
I have set out upon my visit to Turkey with the same sentiments as those expressed by my predecessor, Blessed John XXIII, when he came here as Archbishop Giuseppe Roncalli to fulfill the office of papal representative in Istanbul, and I quote him, "I am fond of the Turks," he said, "to whom the Lord has sent me. I love the Turks. I appreciate the natural qualities of these people who have their own place reserved in the march of civilization."
And the Turkish people returned this fondness to the extent of naming a street after him in Istanbul when he became pope, right by the apostolic delegation. The street is called Papa Roncalli Sukat. Being inquisitive, I went to check out the notes that Pope Benedict quotes from in the journal. What I discovered is a particularly poetic and spiritual passage, one I'd like to share with you.
"Every evening, from the window of my room, I see an assemblage of boats on the Bosphorus. They come round from the Golden Horn in tens and hundreds. They gather at a given rendezvous and then they light up, some more brilliantly than others, offering a most impressive spectacle of colours and lights. I thought it was a festival on the sea for Bayram, which occurs just about now. But it's the organised fleet fishing for Bonito, large fish, which are said to come from far away in the Black Sea. These lights glow all night, and one can hear the cheerful voices of the fishermen. I find the sight very moving. The other night, towards 1 o'clock, it was pouring with rain, but the fishermen were still there, undeterred from their heavy toil. How ashamed we should feel, we priests, fishers of men, before such an example, to pass from the illustration to the lesson illustrated. What a vision of work, zeal and labour for the souls of men to set before our eyes. Very little is left in this land of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, debris and seeds, but innumerable souls to be won for Christ, lost in this weltering mass of Muslims, Jews and Orthodox. We must do as the fishermen of the Bosphorus do, work night and day, with our torches lit, each in his own little boat, at the orders of our spiritual leaders. That is our grave and solemn duty."
Having read this journal, I remembered I once met a person to have lived in both of Roncalli's residences, his townhouse and his summerhouse, looking out of his windows onto the Bosphorus and actually leafing through his personal books and indeed footnotes within them. He's the late Monsignor Charles Burton Mouton, a former Vatican diplomat who once shared with me vivid memories of this Turkish experience.
"I lived in Pope John the 23rd's house in Istanbul. And in his Summer Villa on Bayukada, on the Princess Islands in the Sea of Marmara, very lovely villa on this island, a four-story villa with a walled garden. And I would sometimes open a book in the library, and there was a notation in his handwriting, and you felt like you were really living with him in a way, because of the memories that were in those places and in those two residences. And Pope John the 23rd renovated the villa and spent 8 or 9 summers there, became very attached to it, as he became very attached to the Turkish people. And it was through Pope John the 23rd that diplomatic relations were established between Turkey and the Holy See. But he left, of course, a very wonderful memory in Turkey among all of the people. And of course, it's a non-Christian country. It's a Muslim country. But he had great respect among them. And of course, Pope John the 23rd had very great interest in ecumenism and in establishing the various offices in the Holy See which would deal with ecumenical subjects. And I think that had to do with the time that he spent in Romania, Bulgaria, and Turkey. He had contact with the Orthodox Church and with the Muslim world. And I think that had a lot to do with his formation and with his view of ecumenism and relations with the Orthodox and relations with the Muslims and the non-Christian religions.
But John the 23rd wasn't the only Roman pontiff of the 20th century. Pope Benedict the 16th mentioned on his first day in Turkey's capital, Ankara. During his speech to diplomats, in fact, he also mentioned Benedict the 15th, whom he described on this occasion as an untiring promoter of peace during World War I. A pope who was much misunderstood during his pontificate, but who, as his biographer John Pollard writes, the Turkish people remember in a special way. Quote, he got very little in the way of reward during the course of the conflict. On the contrary, he was attacked from all sides. However, ironically, the lasting monument to his humanitarian efforts came at the time not in any European state, but in Turkey of all places. In Istanbul, a statue was erected in his honour even before the war. Unquote. No surprise, then, that Pope Benedict XVI mentioned his predecessor during a gathering with roughly 90 ambassadors in Ankara, also in light of that first general audience of his pontificate, back on the 27th of April 2005.
I wanted to be called Benedict XVI in order to create a spiritual bond with Benedict XV.
Al venerato pontifice Benedetto XV,
who steered the Church through the period of turmoil caused by the First World War. He was a courageous and authentic prophet of peace and strove with brave courage, first of all, to avert the tragedy of the war, then to limit its harmful consequences. Treading in his footsteps, I would like to place my ministry at the service of reconciliation and harmony between persons and peoples, since I am profoundly convinced that the great good of peace is first and foremost a gift of God, a precious but unfortunately fragile gift to pray for, safeguard, and build up day by day with the help of all.
Words these that came to my mind as Pope Benedict XVI then addressed diplomats on his first day in Turkey during a gathering with roughly 90 ambassadors. Respectful dialogue, he said on this occasion, must be the basis for ending terrorism, wars and religious differences in the world. Religions, he added, have a key role in this dialogue, but on the condition that they utterly refuse to sanction recourse to violence as a legitimate expression of religion. Perhaps one can safely say once again that Pope Benedict is doing his best, as promised at the beginning of his pontificate, to tread in the footsteps of that last pope to bear the name Benedict. Benedict. now, while my thanks go both to Sean Patrick Lovett, whose voice you've just heard, and to our sound engineers here at Vatican Radio for making this programme possible, I'd just like to add that Pope Benedict naturally was inspired to take the name Benedict also because of Benedict of Norcia, and that in another programme I'll soon be touching on the figures of the late popes Paul VI and John Paul II, who both travelled to Turkey prior to Benedict XVI, as you know. Thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.